It's time for the North Posey Viking Coaches Show on 98.9 WPIW and NorthPoseyRadio.com. Tonight's show is brought to you by the Posey County Co-op, Crane Credit Union, Nick's Industrial, Expressway Chevrolet, GAF, Billy Sparkle and Shine, JT's Hardware, Posey Storage, Expressway Jeep, J.L. Hirsch & Company, Rugged Armor Linings, and Smith Sealing and Asphalt Maintenance.
Here we go. Welcome into the final edition of the North Posey Football Coach Show for the 20th season alongside Waylon Shank. I'm Jordan Fisher, and Coach, with a tough loss at Sullivan. Just first, I want to get your thoughts, because I know a couple times this year you've said the team didn't show up ready to play, getting off the bus. Did that kind of happen again this week, or did Sullivan kind of catch you guys by surprise getting out to that early lead?
We got beat by a better team, if I'm being really honest with you. I felt like our kids played really hard. We had some guys that were tough out there and played through some injuries and gave us what they got. At the end of the day, I mean, the bigger, stronger, more physical team, more experienced team won. Now, I'm not real happy. Obviously, we didn't get off to a good start, but I don't think that had a whole lot to do with us not being ready to play. I think it had more to do with the opponent we played. I mean, Sullivan's a really good football team. I told people that all week. They kept asking me, where would the Linton game be? And I said, guys, Sullivan is really good. And people kept looking at me like, really? I haven't heard much about Sullivan. I'm like, if you watch them on film, their three losses this year were to really, three highly ranked teams. They were competitive in all of those games. And they've blown out everybody else. And when you watch them on film, I knew we were going to have to play a near perfect game to beat them. And we didn't play our best game. And, a lot of that had to do with the opponent that was better than us.
The no-huddle, hurry-up offense, was that a wrinkle they threw at you guys, or was that something you had saw on film?
No, that's something we'd seen on film, something that they caught us in a couple substitutions. We were trying to match some substitution things. But it wasn't something that, Coach Johnson does a really good job for us in scout team of pushing the tempo. So that's nothing we haven't seen. I think the physicality, the size of their kids, you watch them on film and they look really big. You look at the roster, and most of the time, coaches kind of inflate the roster. But when I walked out there and I saw number 8 warming up, I'm like, man, he looked a lot smaller on film. I knew that we were going to have to be nearly perfect, and we weren't. And like I said, the better football team won.
Of course, they jumped out to that big 21-0 lead, but you guys do respond, getting a touchdown on a double move to Camden Clowers, and then you guys actually, I think, recovered a fumble on the ensuing possession, had the ball at the 30. Of course, you guys weren't able to capitalize on that situation, but you did have a little bit of life there early, I think, in the second quarter or late first quarter.
Yeah, we had an opportunity really to score before half to cut it to 2 possessions, knowing we had the ball coming out. And both, right before half, we drive down, turn the ball over deep into our own territory, and then we do that right out of halftime, drive down. I think we had first and goal in the 4. We were not able to run the ball against their big guys up front. So we were kind of forced to throw. We put Carter in some bad spots. And if we execute really well on both of those and finish both those drives, we're talking it's a 6-point game in the second half. But, a lot of the reason why we didn't execute is because of how well they were playing and how physical they were. And, how they were a really experienced football team, and sometimes you just get beat by a better team, and I think that's what happened.
Of course, you've had a chance to film, but I was just calling it live. It looked like that Sullivan was almost loading up the box and loading up the line of scrimmage whenever you guys would go 5 wide and almost daring you to go ahead and play man-to-man or beat man-to-man. Was that what was happening?
Yeah, and that kind of, the first drive, I thought, man, they're going to play us man. This is exactly what, I felt, because I knew we were going to be overmatched a little bit in the box with their size and their experience and physicality. But I thought, man, if we can get our guys one-on-one in space, we have a shot. And I underestimated how good their athletes were. When you watch them on film, for whatever reason, I mean, they played well on film, but I felt like our guys have played well all year. So I thought, man, if we can get, our different receivers in one-on-one coverages, that we can win. And, 8 was really good in coverage, and he chased Remy around all night, and Remy battled. That was a really experienced, really good sophomore and our senior. And then, Murphy was out there hobbling around trying to give us everything he got. He was probably playing at 75%. And still, I think he had 5 catches for, 60 yards or something around there. But the kid that he was playing against was really good. He was a 6'5 kid. He was a good athlete. You know, I felt Brody and Camden battled their tails off throughout the game, and you know, but Carter never really got comfortable in the pocket. They were bringing pressure. They were getting to him. He was throwing off his back foot a little bit, and because the pressure was getting to him, and you know, credit them. I mean, in all honesty, we credit them. I felt like we made some adjustments at halftime that helped with the pressure, and then they kind of adjusted. But like, when we can't run the ball, we talked about this last week. You know, when you get in the playoffs, it usually comes down to who could run the ball and who could stop the run, and they were better on both sides of it.
Well, and certainly I think sometimes whenever you have the issues of running the ball, you've gone to the short pass game or the quick pass game, almost a screenplay as an extension of the run, and it felt like Sullivan did a very good job of taking that away too, so I think it kind of unfortunately made your offense one-dimensional. And
yeah, for sure. I mean, they knew we had to throw it, but I mean, you know, when you get down inside the four and you run the ball and you lose a yard, you ride on short yardage and you lose a yard, you know, they knew, and I knew they knew that we were going to have to throw the ball to give ourselves a shot. And unfortunately, they put a lot on Carter's shoulders, and they played really good coverage. I mean, it was man-to-man most of the time. You know, we were winning some of the battles, but not enough to win the game. And, you know, Carter kept battling for us, and our receivers kept going. But like I said, at the end of the day, you know, experience caught up to us, physicality caught up to us, and you know, Sullivan deserved to move on.
I think, one, it's going to be a good learning experience going into next season. Of course, it's going to be one that stings throughout the year. But whenever you're in the midst of that game and it's kind of starting to snowball on you, and on top of it, the officials are getting very involved with, I think I had like 22 penalties unofficially between both sides. Neither side was happy with the officials. And I think that's just something you kind of have to deal with. But what is the specific challenge there for you as a head coach when you're coaching such a young team and you see a game like this kind of getting away from you?
I apologize to our guys after the game for a little bit, but you know, I felt like going our way. There wasn't really good communication from the officiating crew to let me know. You know, the answers I were getting were elementary at best, and you know that was getting frustrating. And I felt like Dylan made a really great play on a ball that was well thrown, and it happened right in front of me. And you know, the information I got wasn't a good one, and you know, so I kind of popped off to the official, and what gets me, you know, on that, and I don't get into the officials too much, but in 14 years I've never got a penalty flag, mm-hmm. 14 years, and I've done a lot worse, and I've mm-hmm. probably said a lot worse, and I think it was an inexperienced crew that was out there learning too, and you know, I told myself I got to be better than that. I told our kids I got to be better than that. They're human. But at the same time, you try to fight for your kids. And our guys got frustrated. And you know, there was a lot of stuff going on out there on the field that I felt like the officiating crew should have gotten to before the end of the third quarter when they wanted to talk to the captains. And I know, you know, their coach was frustrated with some things that were going on. We were frustrated. The constant 10-minute discussions after every flag mm-hmm. to see what we're going to call. It just it kills the flow of a game for both teams. And the officiating had zero to do with the outcome of the game. I do think it led to some frustration from everybody involved.
Right, but I think also along with that, it's you see this fairly common in basketball. Whenever a team is, you know, either struggling or trying to get into a mojo or whatever, you'll sometimes see the coach just go get a technical to try to get his guys fired up. And it felt like that was kind of what you were trying to do in the moment, was to not only defend your guys, but also maybe put a little bit of fire underneath of them.
Yeah, and that was part of it. I mean, I didn't think I'd get flagged for what I said. But like I said, I've said a lot worse, and I've acted a bigger fool at times. But at the same time, you know, I was going to defend our kids when they make a great play and they're out there giving you everything they got. I was going to defend our kids, and yeah, I mean, if that gets them fired up, then it gets them fired up. But I was going to show them that, man, I'm out here asking you guys to keep competing and keep fighting, and I'm going to keep fighting for you. And you know, if we're going to go down, we're all going down with the ship, and we're all going to go down fighting. And I think our guys did that. I was, you know, it wasn't for lack of effort. It wasn't for you know, us just, you know, cashing in the chips early. Those guys fought. I felt like our coaching staff fought. Yeah, I said at the end of the day, man, sometimes you just get beat by a better team.
And I know that there's not a lot of positives to take away from a game whenever you lose that lopsided, but it sounds like competitiveness was at least one thing that you did like to see from your team throughout that game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you're out there with a bunch of 14, 15-year-old kids, and they're out there with 17, 18-year-old kids, and that sometimes that's just how it works. I mean, that's not an excuse, but that's the reality of it is, you know, they played with a lot of seniors and a lot of juniors, and we played with a lot of sophomores, a couple freshmen, and some juniors trickled in there. And a lot of times, you know, the bigger, more experienced team wins those games. So, but I was really pleased with our guys. We were undersized. Our guys fought. They battled. You know, they left it on the field. And we talked about that earlier in the week. You know, every coach kind of went around and talked about, you know, Coach Nottie kind of led it and asked each and every one of our coaches on our staff, you know, do you remember your last football game? And every one of us remembered it. And every one of us remembered the score. Every one of us remembered, you know, who we played in our last football game. And we kind of just, you know, trying to get these guys to understand this is going to end at some point, whether it be with a state title or whether it be this week or 3 weeks from now. It all comes to an end, and we just ask, you know, you can accept it ending if you left everything out on the field. And so, I mean, I think that was kind of part of it Friday night. You know, our kids did leave it out there. And I'm not saying an execution because we didn't execute a lot of things really well. But from an effort standpoint, from putting their bodies on the line, I felt like they left it out there. And when you do that, you know, you can accept the outcome of the game and look at the big picture of the whole season and realize, man, we did some really cool things with some young kids, and we're set up really well for the future.
Of course, it's always a tough thing whenever a senior season does come to an end, and you've been with a lot of these kids since they were at the youth league and the junior high league, and now you have some seniors that were coming in. You mentioned a couple of them that played for the first time for you this year. What was that like as far as trying to directly talk to them or communicate to them about everything they've done for North Posey football, whether it's this season or throughout their entire career since a kid?
Yeah, you know, we talked about those guys and what they've accomplished. And if you look at them, you know, big picture of their whole career, they went to a state finals. You know, they won a sectional, regional, semi-state, got to play at Lucas Oil. They've won two conference titles. And as I'm talking about that, it kind of hit me like, I remember watching these guys in eighth grade because my son was a senior this year, and I remember sitting up at Heritage Hills, and our boys are just getting ran over, and I'm thinking, I bet we had negative 100 yards that night, and that group of eighth graders at the time are now seniors, and there's only three of them left that played there, and I remember thinking, I don't know if these kids will ever win a game in high school. We're not very good, we're not very big, and then to think back over their four-year career, not only did they win a lot of games, they won a couple conference titles. They were able to make it all the way to Lucas Oil. And, you know, I think that kind of hit them a little bit that, man, we did accomplish quite a bit for, you know, what we were working with. And, you know, so Landon Crawford kind of led that. He was laughing a little bit. He said, Coach, I think the best player on our team that year was a girl because Addie Gamblin was playing football. And I remember thinking, I don't think she was. She was the best player on that team for a while. But, you know, to see guys like Landon Crawford and Seth and then Carter to stick to this when a lot of their classmates gave it up, to see the commitment they made. And then, you know, it is hard and it's emotional when it's your own son. And he was probably the hardest one to talk to. And it took me a while to get to him because I kind of walked around and, you know, talked to some of the younger guys and talked to some of the seniors and, you know, finally got to him. And that was a special moment for me and him. And but it was really cool because to see what these guys were able to do with their limitations as a class was really special. And it's something that I think they'll remember the rest of their life. I know my son certainly will. We've talked about it a lot. But I think the memories that he's had with me and I've had with him were pretty cool.
Now, did you guys do a final team meeting like earlier today just to kind of recap the whole season? What was that kind of like?
Yeah, we brought everybody in and, you know, we cleaned everything out. And, you know, the standard doesn't change. You know, we if you walk in our locker room right now, the helmets are still on the left hook. The shoulder pads are still exactly where they go. Their lockers are clean. Everything got put away. Because that they know that's the expectation, and they continue to respect not just our current program, but what, you know, what Coach Jingleball and Coach Rank and those guys built before I got here. You know, you're not just representing the program now, but it's the guys that, that came in before us and the guys are going to come long after we're gone. I think this is a special place. So we met, we talked about that a little bit, and you know, we talked about what the off season is going to look like, and we've got a lot of plans, and excited about the future, and kind of talked to them about what this is going to look like. You know, we're going to give them some time off. Obviously, we've got a lot of guys that battled through a lot of injuries this year, and you know, the bodies need to heal. But you know, once we get back from Thanksgiving break, you know, they'll be all in again. And you know, some of them are texting me as they're like, "Can we start tomorrow?" And I said, "No." You know, I need a break. Our coaches need a break. They need a break, even if they don't know it. And it'll be good to get a little bit of time off here, a couple weeks, and reflect on some things, and then we'll get going pretty hot and heavy once Thanksgiving break's over.
One final question here, then we'll take a break, and then we'll kind of get to the off-season stuff in the second segment. But what was your favorite moment of this season, or favorite, I guess, series of the season?
You know, I think this season started off really well with that home win with Southridge, because I think coming into the season, not many people gave us a whole lot of credit of, you know, what we can do as a football team. We had graduated so many over the last couple of years. A lot of unknowns coming into the season, and to open the season in front of our home crowd with a huge win over a really good Southridge team, you know, kind of set the tone. And I think that's what I'll take from this season the most.
Well, let's go ahead and step away for a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the offseason, kind of the preparation into next season. Don't go anywhere. You listen to the North Posey Football Coaches Show right here live from North Posey High School on 98.9 WPIW.
They're now serving lizards and gizzards at the Wheelhouse Restaurant in Poseyville, along with your favorite dishes from their expansive menu. Try their delicious Friday night buffet. The Wheelhouse is open 7 days a week with a full kitchen, so you can always count on them for a delicious, satisfying meal. Make your reservation soon for their wonderful Thanksgiving buffet. The Wheelhouse Restaurant on Main Street in Poseyville. Wishing our North Posey Vikings a big win tonight.
Expressway Chevrolet GMC is family-owned and located on the corner of Highway 62 and 69 in Mount Vernon, Indiana. The dealership was built on the principle that every vehicle buying experience should be easy but fun for the whole family. Our award-winning service department has 26 bays, 11 technicians, with 5 of them world-class. Sales is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Inventory is arriving daily, so remember to shop us before you shop anywhere else, and visit us 24/7 at expresswaychevrolet.com, Mount Vernon, Indiana.
Since 1916, J.L. Hirsch Company Grocery and Department Store has been servicing the people of Posey County. Whether you're looking for clothing, jewelry, or stocking up on groceries, it's all at J.L. Hirsch Company. And don't forget about the renowned meat department with the best cuts of meat for miles around. Get your North Posey spirit wear at J.L. Hirsch as well. J.L. Hirsch Grocery and Department Store, a Posey County tradition for over 100 years. Open 8 until 5:30 Monday through Saturday. J.L. Hirsch Company on Main Street in Poseyville.
The Posey County Co-op has proudly been supporting the communities we live in since 1927. With locations in Mount Vernon, Poseyville, Griffin, St. Wendell, Hopstott, and Evansville, the Posey County Co-op is your number one spot for Asgrow and DeKalb seeds and Purina feed products. The Posey County Co-op also has you covered with their new Posey County Workwear in Mount Vernon. The Posey County Co-op, your number one agricultural resource since 1927.
When it's time for maintenance on your vehicle, make the right choice and visit Poseyville Auto Parts and Service Center. No matter the make or model, they have the right parts at the right price. Let the knowledgeable staff help you find exactly what you need for the job. If you don't want to deal with the mess yourself, then let the Poseyville Service Center take care of you where there's no job too big. Stop in at 39 West Main Street in Poseyville or call 812-874-3113. Open Monday through Friday from 8 until 5 and Saturdays from 8 until noon. Poseyville Auto Parts and Service Center, your one-stop shop for everything automotive.
Proud to support the North Posey Vikings is the Yellow Tavern in New Harmony. Known throughout the tri-state for great food and great atmosphere. Specializing in mouth-watering T-bones, ribeyes, and salmon dinners. And of course, fabulous pizza and sandwiches. Open at 11 a.m. Monday through Saturday. Dine in or carry out. The Yellow Tavern at 521 Church Street in New Harmony. Wishing the best success to the Vikings players and coaches this postseason.
You count on your car every day. so keep it looking sharp at Billy Sparkle and Shine in Poseyville. A clean car doesn't just turn heads, it feels better to drive. Billy's has a touchless automatic bay for a quick and easy wash, two self-serve bays if you're hands-on, and four powerful vacuums to freshen up your interior. If you're tackling summer bugs, the front bug sweep pass on the Ultimate Package can clean up that mess too. And for businesses, fleet accounts make regular cleanups a breeze. So stop by Billy Sparkle and Shine today at 140 North St. Francis Street in Poseyville and give your car the care it deserves.
When you need to clear up some space at home, store things that matter the most, or need an area to keep your business's materials and inventory, turn to Posey Storage in Poseyville. They've got storage units to fit about any need, with four sizes to choose from, including 5x12, 10x12, 10x24, and extra-large 12x35-foot units. Need room for a boat, RV, or camper? They have you covered with both indoor and outdoor options. And renting couldn't be any easier. Call them at 812-622-1626, rent online at PoseyStoragePV.com, or stop by and use a convenient rental kiosk on site. Plus, with security cameras around the property, your stuff stays protected. Posey Storage, your local storage solution at 128 North St. Francis Street in Poseyville.
Nix Industrial is hiring. Voted one of Indiana's best places to work in manufacturing, Nix Industrial is a metal fabrication, coatings, and gear and machining company located in Poseyville, Indiana. Are you looking for a stable career where the employer truly cares? At Nix Industrial, we are always searching for talented team members to join our growing business. If you are interested in competitive pay and benefits, overtime opportunities, and working for a family-oriented company, we encourage you to apply today on our website, nixindustrial.com.
There's something new at El Charro's Mexican Restaurant, a drive-thru window for your convenience. Place your drive-thru order by calling 812-421-1986 or order online at elcharroevv.com. Dime in or relax and unwind with a margarita on their patio. El Charro opens daily at 11 a.m. with lunch specials starting at $10.99. And don't forget about those family specials for only $26.99. And they cater for all occasions. Enjoy mouth-watering authentic Mexican at El Charro Mexican Restaurant, 720 Sontag Avenue on Evansville's west side.
Hog & Sauce is rooting for a Viking victory. And Hog & Sauce is gearing up for the holidays, too, with catering service second to none. Call to order your turkeys, hams, and sides. It's not too early to order now. Call Hog & Sauce at 838-5339. That's 838-5339 for Hog & Sauce on Leonard Road in Mount Vernon. Rooting the Vikings players and coaches to a victory.
Score 0% APR for up to 72 months on new 2025 and new 26 Ram 1500s at Expressway Jeep. New 25 Ram Night Edition 4x4 for $39,975. Save up to $16,000 during October Truckathon at Expressway Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram in Mount Vernon.
Excludes tax, title, and 250 dock fee. Includes all applicable rebates and bonus cash. Includes 1,500 Expressway Jeep owner loyalty. 0% APR for 60 months on new 2026 Ram 1500s in lieu of other rebates and incentives. With approved credit through Stellantis Financial Services. See dealer for details.
When you're ready to tackle your next home improvement project, look no further than JT's Hardware, your one-stop shop on Main Street in Poseyville. JT's Hardware has everything you need to get the job done right. From tools to paint, plumbing to electrical, and fasteners to lumber, they've got you covered. And the staff is always ready to lend a helping hand and offer helpful advice. So don't wait. Head to JT's Hardware today and make your home improvement dreams a reality. JT's Hardware, your local partner in home improvement, located on Main Street in Poseyville.
GAF of Mount Vernon, North America's premier roofing and waterproofing manufacturer, proudly supports Posey County football with a mission to protect what matters most. GAF builds unmatched strength, safety, and innovation, qualities that inspire champions on and off the field. GAF is honored to stand alongside our community and cheer on the Wildcats and Vikings players as they leave it all on the field this season. Here's to a safe, successful, and unforgettable season with pride and support from your friends at GAF.
At every turn, you can count on the team at Barton Automotive to keep your vehicle running safely and reliably. Their ASE Certified Master Technicians protect your investment by utilizing the latest advanced diagnostic equipment and offering the highest quality parts, all backed by a nationwide 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty. For 15 years, Barton Automotive has served the tri-state area with integrity and treat their customers as friends. Give Barton a call today to schedule your next alignment, tire replacement, brake service, diesel repair, and everything in between.
Barton Automotive, 812-985-3000. If you're looking to breathe new life into your worn-out asphalt, you need Smith's Sealing and Asphalt Maintenance, a family-owned and operated business you can trust. Their team specializes in sealing and maintaining asphalt, making old driveways and parking lots look brand new. With fair prices and a commitment to quality, they're the ones you can rely on. Visit them on Facebook and give them a call for a free quote today. Call 812-228-9651 for Smith Sealing and Asphalt Maintenance. Trust in family. Trust in quality. Trust Smith's.
This is Justin Schmidt, Regional Manager for Crane Credit Union in Posey County. I want to remind you that Crane Credit Union is committed to serving Posey County. With three locations, familiar faces, and local decisions, we are able to offer cutting-edge products and services that you want, along with hometown feel that you deserve. When you become a member at Crane Credit Union, you're helping to support this community and the schools and organizations that matter to you. Visit us in person at one of our local branches in Poseyville, Mount Vernon, or St. Wendell, or online at cranecu.org to find out how easy it is to join. Crane Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA, an equal housing lender.
In the heart of New Harmony, something familiar has a fresh new look. The shop, once known as the Antique Emporium, has been reimagined, refreshed, and reopened as the Red Door. You'll still find antiques and heirlooms, but also local pottery by Tony Treadway, goat milk products from Artisan Homestead, unique gifts, and one-of-a-kind treasures brought in daily by new vendors and consigners. Come see how something classic has been beautifully renewed Wednesday through Sunday at 525 Church Street in New Harmony, right next to the Yellow Tavern. It's the Red Door, more than just an antique store.
Welcome back into the North Posey Football Coaches for North Posey High School with Head Coach Waylon Schenck. I'm Jordan Fisher. And, Coach, now that we've gotten to the off-season portion of the schedule, of course, you have now kind of put this season in the past, and now you as a coach obviously have a lot of tasks on your hand or on your plate. But you mentioned earlier that you kind of went over the off-season plan with the boys earlier today. What's that going to kind of look like for them this weekend or this summer?
Well, we just kind of talked to them, you know, taking some time off and resting their bodies, and then we'll get going, hot and heavy in the weight room after school's once Thanksgiving breaks over. But we're still kind of developing what the off season will look like as a coaching staff. Some things we know we'll do for certain. We have our lineman academy in the spring where we get with our offense and defense alignment 2 days a week and utilize that limited contact period the IHS allows us. We try to promote our athletes to play multiple sports, so there'll be a lot of them we won't see. You know, they'll lift with us during the day in our classes, but they'll play basketball or they'll wrestle in the fall, and then they'll baseball or track or something like that in the spring season. So, and that's something we love. We love our guys to go out and do all those multi sports things. But the guys that aren't, we'll get in the weight room pretty quick and start working with them. And then, you know, this summer we'll do our 7-on-7s. I'm not sure where that'll be this year. We've typically always scrimmaged like North Davies, Washington, and then two others, and I'm not sure who those two others will be yet. Sometimes we try to schedule that around where our team trip's going to be and tie football in with some team building things. And then we'll have our big team trip that we take every summer. A couple years ago we went down around Chattanooga and did the Olympic whitewater rafting course. That was a little wild and extreme, and kids loved it, but man, it was
probably made you nervous as a coach.
Made me nervous. 2 years ago we went, you know, down to Kentucky and did a whitewater rafting trip, but a lot more laid back and did some cool stuff, camping, and last year we went up to explore Brown County and camped and fished and did, you know, paintball competitions and whatnot. So we try to do something different every off season, and that's a reward for the guys that are putting in their time in the weight room, doing what we're asking them to do. There's always a reading component for some leadership stuff that we ask them to do, and the guys who work really hard and are committed to what we're asking, we try to reward, and we've been fortunate enough to be able to do that at no cost to our kids because of our, you know, the fundraiser we do and the support from the community. It's been a great thing. It's been a great thing, and it's something that we definitely want to continue to do.
Do you guys have an idea of when you guys will be doing the end of season sports banquet?
We will. I told the guy today, I got my you know, basketball, wrestling, because I want everybody to be able to be there. We'll definitely get it in before Thanksgiving break, but I'm not sure what that date will be yet.
And then for the football club dinner that always happens, usually it's around March. Do you guys have a date set for that yet?
We have set it. It's February 28th.
Okay.
We found a weekend that is pretty consistent now to where, you know, if our girls' basketball programs is fortunate enough to advance far enough, it doesn't interfere with them because they're done. And if boys' sectional hasn't quite started yet, so they got that weekend off, it doesn't interfere with wrestling things. So that's kind of the weekend that we finally figured out this has got to be consistent, you know, going forward. So that's something that our Booster Club will be meeting on here in about a week to get started. Ton of work goes into that, and we got a great group of people that get after it, make that thing possible. But yeah, it'll be February 28th at the Knights home again this year. And you know, we've got some new things. It'll be the 10th anniversary of our event, and we're going to try to make it bigger and better than it's been in the past.
Well, certainly I went to it the last couple of years. I'll be making my third trip there hopefully this year, so long as I don't have any broadcasting conflicts with USI. But certainly I think it's always a fun event, and I think it's something you guys do that's really, really good for the program and really for everybody involved to be involved. You mentioned so many times throughout this year the community that kind of backs this program, and I think that's one way to pay it back to the community.
Yeah, and it's more the fundraising event. It's been that has brought so many guys from the past back to the program, and you know, parents are involved, former players are involved, former coaches are there. We've been able to honor some guys, and we're going to do some you know, recognition again of people who have served this program in this community for a long time. And but it's become more of a, you know, storytelling night. You know, we do raise a lot of money, but my favorite part is once the fundraising's over, just to sit around and listen to, you know, Coach Jingleball tell his story and former players tell stories about Coach Jingleball that I didn't know about. You know, just to see the pride that everybody there has in this community and in this program, it makes you realize how fortunate you are, and it makes you realize how special this place is.
Got one final question, and we'll wrap this up. So, of course, you mentioned many times this year how young your team is, and you're going to be returning a vast majority of those players that were key contributors for you, with only losing, I think it was 5 seniors and really 3 big-time contributors on the field. What was the message to a lot of those sophomores and juniors, even a handful of freshmen, that are going to be taking that next step forward going into next season?
You know, I think, you know, the sky's the limit for this. And what we've been preaching the last couple of weeks is, you know, control what you can control. And, you know, what we can control is we know where we fell short this year. When we ran up against bigger, more physical opponents, we struggled. And so we know what we got to get better at. I think schematically we're there. I think some of the talent thing that we can do, the level is there. We've got to get bigger. We've got to get stronger. And that's something our kids control. I mean, how hard do you want to push yourself in the weight room? How committed do you want to be to a nutrition plan? You know, those are all things that we get about, and that's the cool thing about it. But I really do think, you know, this group reminds me a lot of the group that went to the state finals. You know, there was a lot of young guys playing, you know, when him and Jackson Graff and Jace Gower and all that group were sophomores. You know, they played a significant role with another group, and you knew, you just saw, man, if things go right, if these kids continue to work the way they're working, this thing can be pretty special here in a couple of years. And I think we're right there again. I think we're, you know, we bring back so much experience. Where depth was a problem this year, I think depth next year is going to be as deep as we've been in a long time. And I think if we can get guys healthy, you know, a kid that everybody's kind of forgotten about because he got hurt so early in the year is Cade Malk. And, you know, if Cade doesn't go down in the preseason, he might be the conference MVP because I think he's that good. And, you know, so he's just going to be a jolt of energy that comes back. And I know he's kind of, you know, so excited to get himself going back in the weight room. And you know, as a kid, you don't know what you missed till it's gone. And I think he's just kind of realized how quickly it can be taken away, and he's even more motivated than he was last year, and that's really hard to do because that kid was motivated. So getting him back, he was our energy in the weight room. He was our energy in the practice field. You know, so you add him to the guys we already had coming back, and the sky's really the limit.
Well, Coach, it's certainly a pleasure to always talk to you on these coaches' shows, and certainly to be able to broadcast your guys' games and follow the team along. Certainly, it's always fun. I know this one didn't end the best way, but 7-4 season, there's nothing to scoff there. 5-0 PAC small school season, and I think you guys had a lot of success out there for such a young team.
Well, like I said, we appreciate everything that this community does for us and backs us. And you know, we asked our guys the other day, man, where else would you rather be than right here? And I think sometimes people say that. At North Posey, I think, you know, we believe that. You know, we're in small school football is awesome, especially when you get a community like this. And we are really fortunate to have what we have here in the community that continues to support us. So, you know, we're already looking forward to another great year next year.
Certainly looking forward to it as well. Thanks again, Coach.
Thank you.
And thanks for everyone that tuned in. This is the final episode of the North Posey Football Coaches Show. We'll talk to you again when Chris is on the air for basketball, I think Thursday night. But otherwise, everyone have a good Monday night.
You've been listening to the North Posey Viking Coaches Show on 98.9 WPIW and NorthPoseyRadio.com. This broadcast has been brought to you by the Posey County Co-op, Crane Credit Union, Nix Industrial, Expressway Chevrolet, GAF, Billy Sparkle and Shine, JT's Hardware, Posey Storage, Expressway Jeep, JL Hirsch and Company, Rugged Armor Linings, and Smith Sealing and Asphalt Maintenance. Keep up to date with North Posey Sports on your home of the Vikings, 98.9 WPIW and PoseyCountyRadio.com.